to come back. I'm not only considering he and his family my friends now, I think I've come often enough to call you my friends as well.
Amen.
It's good to be back. As Pastor said, I'd like to sing for you, Mary's little boy child. You might have to get your guitar. We'll sing it. He might have to get his guitar. A long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. The angels sing, listen to what they say, that man will shepherds watch the flock by night. They saw a bright new shining star and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar. Hark, now hear the angels sing. New King born today, and man will live forevermore. Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. They found no room to bear the child, not a single room was in sight. By and by, they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born. Trumpets sound and angels sing. Listen to what they say. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Buddy, did you have a song?
Johnny does.
Johnny does. You bet he does. Hi, Mike. I know it. Rachel's going to play. The piano, not her violin. She played the violin last night, though, didn't you, girl? Yes, sir. Did you do a good job?
Maybe.
All right.
Brother Jackie. Good morning, everyone. You know, I think about our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? He came into this world to save sinners, and I was one of the chief of them. But you know what? Not only did he give unto me salvation and eternal life with him, but he has given me 10,000 joys.
Please. Yes.
Standing here beside the manger, looking at this little stranger, wondering if he'll be like other boys. knowing there will be some sorrow. I still will bring it tomorrow. I still know you'll bring 10,000 joy. 10,000 joy. Sweet Son of God, you came to me. And I know that you are here. When I am alone with my Jesus, in the quiet where no one sees us, or when I'm in life, no. If I speak, I know he'll hear me, and to know that he is near me always brings to me 10,000 joy. 10,000 joy. Sweet Son of God, you came to me. And my heart sings because I know that my King, in you I find 10,000 joy, enough to last through all the years, and joy to shine through all my tears. I knew you came from God to save us from our sins, and that you came to set your people free. But how was I to know, when Jesus came into my life, that God's own Son had come to redeem me? 10,000 joy, sweet Son of God, you came to me. And I know from my heart sing, well, you are my King. In you I find 10,000 joys, enough to last you
Before Rachel comes and plays, I want her to play just before I preach. Ruthie, would you come up here and just say hi to everybody or something? Would you do that? Come on up. We're going to hear from her in length before while she's still out here, but I just want her to give her an opportunity to come and say hi. She's one of our precious missionaries. She and Claudia working down in Brazil down there. And we're so proud of her.
Good morning. It's a great joy to be back here. We actually come with heart parted. Sometimes it's really hard to leave the mission field, but it's always a joy when we come and have the opportunity to fellowship with people that have prayed and supported us for so long behind us. We appreciate your prayers. This was a very hard year in our ministry, things that we have not gone through before, but by God's grace, He taught us, He united the church as we had really rough waters, the church in itself, but we were glad to be there. We were glad to accompany the deacons, strong men of God. And we look forward to sharing with you all that God has done through us, but through the children there. We went from about 10 kids to 100. And so we are excited about that work. And God has spread the program, the children's program, beyond borders that we didn't even know. And it's a week before we left. I know, about 5 days before we left, we took it to the capital of Brazil. And so four churches are starting the work there with the children, and we are excited. Claudia and I thank you for your many prayers, and you're always behind us. Claudia went through a rough waters in the beginning of this year, and she's there, all healthy. Amen. And we praise the Lord for her being able to be with us here together in this very special time. It is true what you have saying, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to have the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. Amen. And we're excited to take that to other people. And but we're excited to be here. We were anxious to come here and to fellowship with you. And I'm so happy to have a church that loves the Lord. And it's good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We appreciate that. We'll be hearing from Claudia later on, too. Well, she's been the object of our prayers this year. During that time, she had it pretty rough. But this year's nearly over. We're starting a new one pretty soon. And now then, shall I say we save the best till last?
Amen.
Come on, Rachel. This is our sweetheart. Open your Bibles with me, please, this morning to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 1. Then we'll be going over to Isaiah. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused," means engaged to be married, "to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Emmanuel, there in verse 23, quoting the prophet Isaiah. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew reminds us that this is in fulfillment of a prophecy that was made about 700 years before. And it was given to the prophet Isaiah, directed to a fellow by the name of Ahaz, who was the king of Judah at that time. And that's recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 7. So let's go back into the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 7. And we'll read this. In verse 10, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Look over into the 8th chapter here of Isaiah. We find it again in verse 5 of Isaiah 8. "The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Now we're going to introduce you to those characters in just a moment. Hang on to them. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river. This is what he's likening it to. Strong and many. Now it's not the soft waters of Shiloh that he mentioned there in verse 6, but these are strong and many waters of the river. What does that represent? Even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. Picture a river overflowing, covering up the river bottom there with its swift, strong, muddy waters. And he shall pass through Judah and shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. Oh, what? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Emmanuel. Verse 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. Why? For God is with us. What does that mean? Emmanuel. God with us. Now, I want to give you a little background of this notable prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 7. It's interesting and informative to us to know the circumstances under which this prophecy was given. Most of us know that verse 7:14 by heart, but we need to know the verses before and after, the context of it. Look at verse 1 of this chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, who was he? The king of Syria. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Now that's the setting, that's the picture that we have. These two kings, the king of Syria and the king of Israel, are ganging up on the king of Judah, whose name is Ahaz. They're going to make war against him and his capital city of Jerusalem. Ahaz had become king of Judah back in 734 BC. Unlike his father, Ahaz did not follow the ways of God. He was a very religious man. He worshiped anything and everything except the true God. He offered incense to Baal, the Bible tells us. He even sacrificed his children to Molech. You've got to be pretty devoted to do something like that, amen? I mean, it takes a pretty religious man to take his children, his innocent child, and throw them into a burning, fiery furnace to honor and serve an idol god. But character-wise, he was a wicked and idolatrous man. He was mean, heartless, cruel, vicious. Of course, you have to be pretty hard-hearted to take your offspring, your little children, and throw them into a burning, fiery furnace, like that fellow that we read about a week or two ago that took his little 2-year-old infant, still strapped in the car seat, and threw it into a river. And I'll tell you, he had the kind of religion that would put a female victim of rape in prison for 20 years. You heard about that one too. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 tells us about this guy. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. Quite young, wasn't he? 20 years old. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and also made molten images to Balaam. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Now, I gave you this to show you the character of the person to whom God gave this prophetic message about the coming of Jesus into the world, born of a virgin. Now, at the time of this prophecy, Rezin, who was the king of Syria, and Pekah, who was the king of Israel, they came to Ahaz, and they wanted him to join them in a confederation in warring against a fellow by the name of Tiglath-Pileser, who was the king of Assyria. So we're going to have Judah and Israel and Syria all ganging up on Assyria. Well, Ahaz didn't want to do it. So these other two guys jumped onto him. Ahaz and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they were surrounded by the enemy outside their city walls, and they were filled with fear, and they did not know what to do or how to do it. And since they didn't trust God, Ahaz knew that he didn't stand a chance against the accumulated forces of Israel and Syria. So what did he do? He went to Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrians. And I have an idea that he told him about these two guys that wanted him to join with them to fight him. And the Bible says, so Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Syria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. Now he's getting the help of the Assyrians against his two buddies here that he wouldn't join up with. And Ahaz, here's how he's going to pay him. Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord. Oh, he went into the temple and he raided the treasury of God's house, and he took the money out of their bank account and used it to pay this Assyrian. And in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus. Damascus was the capital of Syria, and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. Now Rezin was the king of Syria. So the Assyrians went in there and they got rid of him. Now, this shows you the circumstances of this prophecy concerning the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A little later on, 721 BC, these same Assyrians came against Samaria, which was the capital of Israel, and killed their king and took them into captivity as well. And now we know that whoever places his trust in men and not in God is bound for disappointment, don't we? The forces of Syria and Egypt, in the context here of this prophecy, did lay siege to Jerusalem, but they were not able to capture it. And it was during this siege that God sent Isaiah the prophet to Ahaz the king with this prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, 700 years before it's going to come to pass. Behold, the Lord will give thee a sign. Now, this sign is a supernatural miracle. It's a miracle that only God can perform. It's beyond the reach of mortal man. It's something special that's given by God and was going to be performed by his supernatural power. He's going to bring it to pass. Only God can perform a miracle like this and cause a biological impossibility to become possible, because with God all things are possible. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now this prophecy speaks, of course, of what we call Christmas. The time when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. The incarnation of Christ, spoken of by Matthew in the words of our text. The fulfillment of the Word of God, also spoken back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Because he is what? The seed of the woman. And in the fullness of time, God himself came down from heaven and took on a human body. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the way that he entered into this world is the same way that you and I entered into it. He was born as a little baby yonder in Bethlehem. But I want you to notice, he was God. When he was taken from his mother's womb, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger at that stable at Bethlehem's inn. He was God. When the shepherds left their flocks in the fields of Bethlehem and came in haste and found the babe in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like the angel of the Lord had told them. He was God when the wise men came from the east, following his star, and brought their treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and laid them at his feet and worshiped him. He was God when yonder in the temple, old Simeon came and took that little baby up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Amen. He was God when he went about doing good, performing miracles, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, causing the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. Even raising the dead, he was God. He was God when he was betrayed yonder in the Garden of Gethsemane by a kiss from Judas Iscariot. He was God when he was tried before Pontius Pilate and condemned to death, counted unfit to live in the world that he had created. He was God when he was crucified, nailed to that old rugged cross where he suffered and bled and died for the sins of this old world. He was God when his dead body was placed yonder in Joseph's new tomb by Joseph and Nicodemus. And the women from Galilee watched how he was laid. He was God when he came out of Joseph's tomb on the morning of the third day, victorious over death and hell and the grave. He was God, and he was seen of many for 40 days. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He was God when he went yonder to the Mount of Olives and ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And those disciples were told by those two men in shining garments, "This same Jesus that's taken away from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." And he is still God today, seated at the Father's right hand, where he ever lives to make intercession for us as our advocate with the Father. And he will still be God when he comes again in the clouds of glory to receive us unto himself. Today, the atheists, the infidels may deny and reject and ridicule and laugh and mock and scoff and say there is no God. But the day is coming when at the very mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
He will be God when he sits on David's throne in Jerusalem and rules and reigns over the whole earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He's not an absent God. He is with us. He said, "I will be with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Just because you can't see him doesn't mean that he isn't here. He's with us today. For when two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, "There am I in the midst of them." He is with us. He's with us in times of trouble, and we don't know what to do. He's with us when we are burdened with sorrow and grief has settled into our lives. He is there. He's with us to comfort us with his presence. He is with us when we grow weak and don't know which way to go. We're weary. We're heavy laden. But he's there to give us rest and to strengthen us with his might. He is there and hears us when we pray. And the Bible says that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with us. His rod and his staff will comfort us. He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. But you know, there's another step to this. There's coming a day when we shall be with Him.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you and you and you and you shall be also." Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We shall be with Him. Emmanuel, God with us. He's here today. He's here today. Let's stand together and with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. Emmanuel, God with us. And may this truth be stamped indelibly upon our hearts, that you are with us and that we are with you. When you're with us, we're with you. And we thank you for your goodness and grace that's brought us together today. And Lord Jesus, if there is anyone here who has never opened their heart to you, I pray that today will be the day. We remember that scripture that says, "Behold, I stand at the door." That's the door of the heart. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door and hear my voice and let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me." Thank you for your goodness and graciousness that forgives our sins and gives us eternal life. That's the greatest gift that a person can ever receive, the gift of eternal life. And that life is through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. If there's one today who has never received this gift of everlasting life, I pray that today the Holy Spirit of God will personally speak to that person's heart and invite them to come and to partake of the water of life freely and to receive from the nail-scarred hand of Jesus that gift of eternal salvation. For we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.
487.
Number 487. Let's sing a verse of this invitation song. Someone today out there needs to come. This is your opportunity to come today and to accept God's gift of eternal life.
Amen.
remember our services tonight at 6 o'clock. Come out and be with us. We're going to be preaching about Paul's prison prayers, and I think you'll get a blessing from it if you'll come out tonight. And Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be teaching a lesson that we started this past Wednesday night on Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born, the significance of that place called Bethlehem. As we are dismissed in prayer this morning, I want to thank you again for coming. And Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for this great message from your word. We just say, wow, wow, Lord.